Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four panelists this week who are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back three of our regular players of the game. That's Paul Merton, Peter Jones, and Wendy Richard, and someone who's only playing the game for the second time, Lee Simpson. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Miriam Jones, who will keep the score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as always, I will ask the players to try and speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitating, repeating anything, or deviating from the subject on the card. Let us begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is a great party. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
When we reach the end of this millennium and we wander into the next one, I imagine there'll be great parties all over the world. People will be celebrating with fruitcakes they have made specially for the occasion, and they will be jumping and leaping with joy as we beckon ourselves towards that uncertain land called the future. What does it hold in store for us? Who can say? Mystic Meg, we don't know. There's all kinds of things happening in the paranormal. But I remember once going to a spiritualist party where the spiritualistic man...
Lee Simpson.
Well, I was enjoying it very much. It was a bit of hesitation.
There was a definite bit of hesitation there. So, Lee, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject, which is a great party, and there are 26 seconds left, starting now.
The only great parties I ever went to was when I was a teenager. That was because snogging was the thing. You had one of those and you were away. The Watney's Party Pack was the lubricant for these events. You pop a hole in the top, drink the whole thing down, and you were gone. Outside with Angela Clark possibly leaning her against the wall because she was too drunk because she'd fall down if you let her go. With your lip...
Peter Jones, a chance.
That was a hesitation, I think.
I think
was,
so, yes.
I
he thought about Angela
again.
Clark and he really dried up, didn't he? 2 seconds, Peter, on a great party starting now.
Well, on behalf of the political parties, which...
When the whistle goes, it tells the 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject, middle age. I don't know there's anything deliberate in that thought, because... I don't think you've yet reached it, Peter, but will you talk on the subject starting now?
Yes, well, I suppose it is appropriate in a way, because I am just about to emerge from the midlife crisis, and I'm looking forward to the twilight years and anything else that may follow, including the next life, I suppose, if there is one. I'm very doubtful about it, but nevertheless, a lot of people do seem to believe in it. The middle age, is it? Middle age, yes. Well, I don't know why it's called that, because it seems to be much younger than it was years ago. People became middle-aged in the last century when they were about 35, which is nowadays considered fairly youthful. Whereas today there are people of 60 with dyed hair, and I'm not talking about Bob Monkhouse or anybody else, but I would... like to point out that the age has advanced, and the middle age, and presumably the twilight years are even later.
Paul Merton challenge.
A repetition of twilight.
You had the twilight years right at the beginning, Peter.
Yes, I did, yes.
59 and a half seconds.
Shocking, isn't it?
I'm so sorry.
Paul, you got in half a second on middle age starting now.
Geoffrey Chaucer.
So Paul cleverly got in just before the whistle went and has taken the lead one ahead of Peter Jones. Lee Simpson, will you take the next round? The subject is putting one's foot in it. There are 60 seconds starting now.
I saw that Caroline Quentin in the show. She was rubbish. That woman who was with Mrs. Slocum, whatever happened to her? I thought Frank Mir was brilliant in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. These are three ways I might put my foot in it. The physical sensations that would follow that would be a sweaty patch at the bottom of my spine, which traveled quickly up to the back of my neck, over the top of my head, separate round my nose and...
Ah, poor Merton Chant.
A repetition, my.
You bring in my, it was a bit too much. Yes. 46 seconds more. Putting one's foot in it, Paul, starting now.
I've got this party dress at home, and I love wearing it, because you put it on, and you have to, one foot has to go in like that, and then the other appendage at the end of your leg goes in there, and you pull it up, and it's quite tight, and you walk down the street, and suddenly you get noticed by the police, and they come up, and you say, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm just enjoying myself, just like anybody else. Why shouldn't I? And they say, well, all right, mind your own business, and off they go. But there's other ways of putting your foot in it, of course. I remember once my grandfather was putting a concrete path outside the front door, and he said, whatever you do, don't put your foot in this thing that I've just worked on here for the last 12 hours. And of course, that was the very thing I did, because I stepped over the doorstep and I went plop right into the hard substance which he had been waiting to dry, and I left a footprint in this particular thing that was there.
Peter Jones, your challenge.
Repetition of thing.
And it couldn't have been a hard substance if it was already soft and he put his foot into it. 7 seconds for the second challenge, not the first one, Peter. I'm putting one's foot in it starting now.
We live very near the Royal Artillery Barracks, where there are 200 horses resident, and they exercise outside in the street.
I wondered what the smell was when you walked in, Peter. Right. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is driving. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I can't drive, but my mother did attempt to teach me this particular skill when I was 16 years old. She had recently passed her driving test, and so she felt qualified to sit next to me in the car while I attempted to propel it forward.
Wendy Richard,
more than one attempt, didn't we?
So, Wendy, you got in with 47 seconds on driving, starting now.
I am hopeless at driving. I failed my driving test 6 times. I had a tendency to wander over the other side of the road. I tried to tell the examiner it's because my godmother was French, but apparently this doesn't count. I would like to be able to drive because I think it gives you a great sense of independence, and it would save me taking so many taxi cabs. Not that I have anything against the gentlemen who drive these said vehicles, because I find most of them charming and chatty, and I enjoy my conversations with them when I am travelling in their voitures. I would still...
What's a voiture?
I don't know.
Yes.
I think it's a lovely word.
I know.
Yes. Let into my voiture. I don't know if I should. No, come on, in my voiture.
Yeah. You're working well tonight.
Thank you, Nicholas.
And you have the subjects. You have 10 seconds. Driving, starting now.
The last time I played golf was on the occasion of the marriage of Charles and Diana in 1981, I think. The most problematic part of the game for me was the driving. It's a ruddy, great, big wooden thing on the...
At the end of that round, Peter Jones is still in the lead. Now he's equal with Paul Merton, and then comes Lee Simpson, then Wendy Richard. Wendy, take the next round, please. The subject, the Channel Tunnel. Tell us something about that, starting now.
I don't think the Channel Tunnel is a very good idea, but I appear to be in the minority. I'm very concerned about all sorts of dreadful things that might happen. We hear of rabies and
hesitation.
Yes, indeed. 48 seconds, starting now.
I don't want to talk about the Channel Tunnel.
You better be quiet, then.
And you have the subject, Peter. 46 seconds, the Channel Tunnel, starting now.
Well, I'm never going to travel through the Channel Tunnel, because I should be denying myself the excitement of seeing France loom up over the waves. And that is one of the most exciting things one can have on a holiday, I think. Now, I've been several times by air, but it isn't quite the same. And going in the Channel Tunnel would be like approaching the continent in a submarine. Just about as exciting as that.
And the challenge.
Too much exciting?
Yes, you have. You said something would be exciting before.
Oh,
when you went,
yes.
On the
carried away.
Away.
Yes.
20 seconds for the Channel Tunnel, starting now.
The Channel Tunnel will be marvellous to ride on. You drive your voiture onto one of the cabins, and it goes all the way there. You don't have to leave your voiture all the time. You're on the...
Yes, Peter, you came in first.
He did say watch your twice, didn't he?
And he definitely said watch your twice. So, you... 12 seconds, the Channel Tunnel with you, Peter, starting now.
It has cost an enormous amount of money, and I can't really see why they've done it. Because although it has created employment for a lot of people, and no doubt the people in France said that twice.
Paul Merton Jones.
Repetition of people.
Yes, Paul, you've got him with 1 second to go. Repetition of people.
I like you tonight.
What am I to do?
I know. 1 second, starting now.
What year is...
Paul, you were speaking as Whistle Wind, gained the extra point. You're now in the lead, one ahead of Peter Jones. Peter, your turn to be in. The subject is Sophocles. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, you obviously mean the great Greek playwright who flourished 500 years B.C., that's before cable, and wrote plays. About 100 of them, half a dozen, still exist and are performed. But the others have vanished into the past.
He seems a new challenge.
Yes, I did, yes.
Hesitation. Yes, I'm afraid there was. 36 seconds for you on Sophocles, starting now.
Sophocles, why? No idea.
Well, I'm not a challenge.
I could pretend, I could say I do, but frankly I don't. Greek, Roman, no idea.
Paul, 34 seconds. Sophocles, starting now.
I had a cat once called Sophocles who enjoyed scratching his claws on the back garden shed. So I thought, well, I'm not having this. I don't see why these things that I go out and buy should be ruined by simple domestic animals. I don't see this particular creature bringing home a pay packet. Oh, no. So what I did was I killed it.
You've challenged.
Well, that does seem a bad example to set to the younger listeners, doesn't it?
He's deviated from Sophocles. He's talking about his cat, isn't he?
Yes, and he's killed let alone the subject.
Peter, you have a correct challenge in 11 seconds on Sophocles, starting now.
If Sophocles were alive today, he'd be writing for television. And he'd probably be written out by now because he was so prolific. He had a competition with another Greek playwright.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point. Of course, for doing so, he's in second place, 1 point behind Paul Merton, our leader, and Lee Simpson. Your turn to begin. The subject, footlights. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Tony Slattery, Richard Vranch, Neil Mullarkey, Moina Banks, Sandy Toksvig, Stephen Fry. The number of successful comedy performers who have emerged from the footlights over the years is almost too numerous to mention. This is a society at Cambridge University which seems intent on completely dominating the world of light entertainment. Why a learning institution on the banks of the Cam should produce such musing people and so rubbish rowers, I have no idea. But perhaps what they should do is replace their team of moving the boat through the water people with footlights. Thereby, just
Peter Jones' challenge.
Well, he did hesitate, I think. There,
I think he did. 24 seconds for you, Peter, on footlights, starting now.
Yes, well, I always feel if I'd gone to Cambridge and joined the footlights, my career would have been a more scintillating one even than it has been. And I think perhaps the period that I spent at this 10th-rate boarding school really damaged me emotionally in such a way that I shall never be able to shine like this man Slattery. By the way, I've been in America recently. It was so nice to be in a country where they'd never heard of him.
Peter Jones kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point. He's now taking the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton. And Wendy, it's your turn to begin. The subject is money. Will you tell us something about money in just a minute, starting now?
I'm not very good with money. I do try to be and get my savings in order. But I sometimes have the great delight of finding odd bits of money, paper or coin, in various jackets or trousers that have been put away.
Paul Merton Jones.
This is stealing.
It's my own money.
Oh, you didn't know, you didn't establish that. You said you went round finding money in people's jackets and trousers.
No, I said earlier earlier on, I found a £20 note in my trousers. That's why they were my favourite.
Paul, we like the challenge. Give you a bonus point for that. So, Wendy, you were interrupted. You get a point for that. 40 seconds on money, starting now.
Well, it certainly would have been my husband's clothing, because he always tells me he's never got any money. When it comes to emptying the washing machine, any money I find lying around in there, that I always claim...
Paul Mertentine.
Repetition of any.
Yes, you did have any before. Paul, there are 29 seconds on money starting now.
Money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. That was a song that ABBA recorded some 20 years ago, and it seems that the subject of money has influenced the songwriting imagination over the years. The Beatles recorded several numbers about that sort of thing. I don't care too much for money. Can't buy me love.
Peter Jones, shall
hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. 10 seconds, Peter. Money, starting now.
They always give you the value of the pound several times a day on the radio and television, explaining that it's gone up 1/8 of a tenick or something. And...
Peter Jones was again speaking as a whistlewind, gained that extra point, and he's now taken the lead once more. Lee Simpson, will you take the next round? The subject, Downs. Will you tell us something about Downs in just a minute, starting now?
Clarissa rode out from the back garden of the country house. Her horse thrust its way through the Sussex Downs, her favourite place. It symbolised for her the freedom of her spirit, the depth of her feeling for the countryside around her. On the distance, she saw another horseman. He rode nearer. The braid on red showed him to be a soldier of some standing before she saw his face, which, when it got closer, she saw with lots of soaring.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Shame. Repetition of sore.
Yes. She was sawing too much then.
She was.
So, Paul, you've got in on the subject of Downs. 39 seconds, starting now.
I used to live near Epsom Downs, and one summer holiday I decided to dig a tunnel. Dig a tunnel.
Peter, yes. He was in a bigger tunnel instead of digger tunnel.
Digger, yes. Bigger, yes, quite. He did, yes.
So, Peter, you've got in with 25 seconds on Downs, starting now.
Well, Downs happens to be the name of the newsagent who lived very close to us when I was born in this small town in Wem in Shropshire. And I used to go down to see Downs and buy magazines and newspapers. The Pigeon Fancier was one of my favourite publications, because I kept pigeon...
What? Paul Merton challenge you, Peter.
Well, this is deviation. Pigeon Fancier? What's going on?
Deviation from what?
The normal sexual practices.
Oh, I see. So it was a devious thought, Paul, but he wasn't deviating from the subject of Downs, so he keeps the subject. And there are 7 seconds left on Downs, Peter, starting now.
They also sold cigarettes, and sometimes I was able to buy one at a time, because they were in a little package, Churchill's number one.
So Peter Jones kept going to the whistle wind once more and has increased his lead. Peter, will you take the next round? The subject is backhanders. Can you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Well, I suppose they're the alternative to forehand drives, aren't they? When people sweep the ball back over the net if they're right-handed, from the left-hand side. I don't know as much left really to say about that.
Challenged.
Repetition of left.
Yes.
Left. Yes, left.
A few other things too, but Paul, 44 seconds for backhanders, starting now.
Backhanders is a slang word for bribes, and I'd like to know who I have to pay to get off this show. Because I've been here now since 1988, and I don't know, I don't seem to really have got the grasp of it yet even still. I've not really ever spoken for a minute without being interrupted. I've tried, but I've always ended up hesitating, deviating, or repeating myself, and it is an extremely difficult process to go through over the course of a full 60 seconds.
Peter Jones has a chance.
Well, he isn't really talking about backhanders.
Of course
he's whinging.
Ha ha ha. And he was certainly deviating from backhanders. You're right, Peter. So you have the subject back again. 15 seconds, backhanders, starting now.
Yes, bribes. I've understood that there are people who give others money in order to get parts in films and plays and television. And I've never found out who these people are who are receptive to this kind of, you know...
Paul Merton-Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid so. You've got in again with 2 seconds
to go. Oh, they're going to hate me now.
Backhanders, Paul, starting now.
I remember...
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, well done, Peter.
Well, I saw his mouth open and no sound came out for at least a split second.
1 second, backhanders, Peter, starting now.
They're evil.
Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is animal rescue. Will you tell us something about it? 60 seconds, starting now.
I can't bear cruelty to cats, especially if they're just going around their normal business. They don't know that it's a tool shed. They just want to scratch their claws and keep them pristine. And when some sad individuals get hold of these particular felines and start shooting them in their head with bullets which they've specially bought from the ironmongers, then I think that's very sad indeed. I once rescued a dolphin from the top deck of a double-decker bus and was hopelessly lost. He thought he was heading towards Piccadilly Circus, but I said, no, mate, you're on your way to Totteridge and Whetstone. He said, look, I don't normally live on land. I am an inhabitant of the sea. Can I be blamed for getting on the wrong bus? I said, don't get shirty with me, mate. It's nothing to do with anything I've just said to you. Go and have a word with the conductor. So the dolphin swam down the stairs and he went up to the man who was selling the tickets. He said, here, he said, I thought you said this was going to where I wanted to go. And the conductor said, look, I don't understand a word you're saying because I don't speak dolphin. Suddenly, a porpoise...
A moment ago, Paul Merton was whinging that he can't keep going, he's never won a round. He kept going without being interrupted, no hesitation, repetition or deviation.
Well, there's a few dolphins, let's face it.
So he not only gets a point for speaking when the whistle went, he gets a bonus point for not being interrupted. And at the end of that round, he's still in second place. Wendy, would you take the next round? The subject is my complaint. Oh, dear. That's why I dried, because I thought they might talk about my personal complaint. You take the subject any way you wish, Wendy. 60 seconds, starting now.
My complaint at the moment is that I have a sore finger because I managed to slam it in the door. I've had 5 stitches in this digit, and it's extremely painful. Thank you for your sympathetic... anyway, apart from that, I am... I was so moved by this wave of sympathy I got from the audience.
It was a wave of apathy.
And you did repeat apart from that. I'm sorry, Wendy.
Apart from that, yes.
Peter,
yes.
You have 39 seconds on my complaint, starting now.
Well, my complaint is really that there are too many footling subjects brought up in this game. Why can't we discuss something really serious and go on for rather longer than a minute? Because that doesn't seem to give one a chance to stretch oneself or explore the various possibilities.
Lee, you challenge.
It's a bit hesitating.
Very hesitant, yeah.
Yes.
Killing the show dead as well. After 28 years, Peter, to complain about the subjects now, I mean...
Well, I didn't know.
My complaint is with you, Lee. 21 seconds, starting now.
My complaint, like many people, is a bad back. I sought solace for this with an osteopath. This is a gentleman or lady who cracks your bones. This is supposed to make you feel better. It makes me nauseous.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Good, osteopath doesn't crack your bones. She cracks your joints.
That's right.
Absolutely. Cracks your bones. Well,
I wondered
why
you're so cheap.
I wonder why you were sitting like that as well, Lee. Yes. Peter, you've got the subject back again. 11 seconds. My complaint, starting now.
The worst complaint I had was mumps when I was acting with Nicholas Parsons on tour. and we went to Blackpool, and by the time we got to Nottingham, my chest had swollen up, and it had gone into my...
Peter Jones kept going till the whistle went, and that was quite true about the mumps. I've never seen a fella's jaws look so large. He really was right out here. It was terrible. I said, keep
and
away
that wasn't
from
the only thing.
No. Peter, you've increased your lead at the end of that round, speaking of the whistle went. You're now ahead of Paul Merton still, and then it's Lee Simpson.
Can't we stop?
Well, then it's your turn to begin, and keep going for 60 seconds, and you'll win in style. And the subject is plumbing. Yes. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I've always thought that plumbing must be rather a lucrative profession, and I sometimes even wish that I'd taken it up, because I've probably made a lot more money from it if I'd been able to do it properly. Of course, it's quite difficult. You have to learn about taps and pipes and cisterns and ball cocks and that sort of thing. But you don't have to arrive on time or even for several days after you've been called. And you can have an assistant. We had one, a woman assistant, actually, that I've said before. Yes.
Paul Merton Chance.
Repetition of assistant.
Yes, yeah. Assistant, that's right. Plumbing is with you, Paul, when the 30 seconds are left starting now.
I think it was the Romans who are genuinely acknowledged to be the forefathers of plumbing. They had a system of central heating, which I think first came in round about 4:30 one Wednesday afternoon, when a gentleman suddenly had an idea. He thought, hello, this isn't right. I've got a fire against the wall when I could have pipes going under my floors, carrying hot water to a back boiler in the kitchen. And so I think his name was Sophocles. He decided that he would publicise.
Well, that delightful, extravagant, surreal story kept Paul going until the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. He's still 3 points behind our leader, Peter Jones. And this definitely is the last round, Peter. So, Lee Simpson, it's your turn to begin. Would you take the subject of a classical education? 60 seconds, Lee, starting now.
I've always felt at a great disadvantage not having had a classical education. They taught us practical things like how to join two pieces of wood together or how to care for your vole in the winter time. With a classical education, I could have shot for the stars. I could have aimed for the really high jobs like light entertainment at the BBC. And I eventually found my way into the Cambridge Footlights with my classical education. Of course, in a classical education, one learns about Greeks and so on. That's it, really. That's all I know about it.
Paul Merton Challenge.
I was delighted. Hesitation, unfortunately.
Yes, there was. The classical education is with you, Paul, and there are 35 seconds left starting now.
I remember when I first heard the wonderful music of Beethoven. I thought, hello, this sounds good. And so I went down to the record library and immersed myself in all the wonderful works this great German composer had composed. There was his first symphony, his second concerto, his violin, what's it for piano, which was not one of his most successful works because he didn't really come up with a good enough title for it. And even now, pianists and conductors all over the world are very loath to put this into the classical program because it's got such a strange sounding name.
Yes, so Paul Merton kept going to the whistle went and once again brought the show to a close in style. And as we've no more time, let me tell you that in third place, equal, were Wendy Richard and Lee Simpson. They were a few points behind Paul Merton, and that last flourish he did well but didn't quite catch up with Peter Jones. So Peter, 1 point ahead, you are the winner this week! Only remains me to say, on behalf of our four panellists, Peter Jones, Wendy Richard, Paul Merton, Lee Simpson, and Miriam Jones, has been keeping the score, blowing the whistle, and of course the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and of course, naturally, our producer, Sarah Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed it all, and you'll be there once more when we take the air and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.